Secrets of a Serial Killer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Secrets of a Serial Killer. I'm your host, Nick, and I've been working a lot lately, so I haven't been able to upload. Yeah, I'm working 7 days straight, so I only got one killer, but, you know, bear with me, okay? So today we're going to be talking about the Baseline Killer, Mark Goudeau. So he was born September 1964 in Phoenix, Arizona, and he was the second youngest of 13 children. His mother worked as a maid and his father was a parking attendant. One of Mark's sisters stated at the time the children were verbally abused. The father, Willie, well, he drifted in and out of their lives. Eventually, him and his wife got divorced, and Alberta, the mother, cared for the family until she passed away in 1976. Mark was 11 when she passed. The older siblings took care of the younger ones, but they turned to crime to survive, and court records showed that they struggled with alcohol and drug abuse. Luckily for Mark, he had an older sister who took him and his brothers in for a few years. Well, a few years after their mother died. It was a new town and a new life. Well, one day the brothers brought a girl over and they closed the door. Not sure what happened, but she went to the police and accused them of sexual assault. Or rape, one of the two. But she ended up dropping the charges and leaving town, which we don't know why she did that. Mark left school and he jumped from job to job, so he never graduated. He was working a construction job, which was going well until he became an alcoholic, and that eventually turned into the drug abuse. In his 20s, he was using crack cocaine, I guess his drug of choice, but he hid it from the people that he loved. The next few years, he got a few misdemeanors and also a DUI. Wendy Carr. He met her in 1987 at a restaurant and they began dating. Well, they moved in together soon after that. He was good at controlling his drug use. He held down his construction job, and his girlfriend said she saw him as a hard-working and honest man. Yeah, she lied to herself. He could have been hiding it all along, which he was. So in 1989, they were together 3 years, and they even talked about marriage. They went on hikes, horseback rides together. Well, one night, he met another woman. That was August of 1989. Wendy was gone, and the side chick came over. According to the chick, Mark pulled out some coke and he snorted it, and his attitude got dark. He snapped all of a sudden, and he grabbed and overpowered the girl. He tried to force coke up her nose, and he beat and assaulted her. He even took a barbell and he hit her with it. What kind of Jeffrey Dahmer shit are you on, brother? She was still conscious, though. So he dragged her to the bathroom and tried to drown her in the tub, but she fell back and escaped, and he chased her. He caught up to her outside in the parking lot, grabbed her, and continued to beat her in the face with the butt of a shotgun. Two people were watching in horror. He let her go and he started running after the witnesses instead, but the pair was faster than him and they got away. Someone let the police know and they soon arrived. The girl, they came to her aid and they rushed her to the hospital, but Mark, he had disappeared. It took the girl 3 days to regain consciousness, but when she did, she gave them the full rundown. She gave Mark's name, the home address, and they addressed him. Mark claimed his innocence. He said him and her had a good time when two men burst into the home with guns. The strangers assaulted her before they fled. Yeah, he denied using cocaine that night as well, but they weren't buying that bullshit-ass story. He pled no contest to aggravated assault and avoided a sexual assault charge. He got probation. Counting down the days, he decided to do even more drugs, and he blew through all of his money. A friend told him he can make a lot of money fast, so on August 10th, 1990, he pulled up to a supermarket. He had a pistol, and he went into the store. Mark walked out with $500 in a brown paper bag. And he got away, but witnesses saw his truck, his plates, and even what he looked like. He didn't even try to use a disguise at all. What a fucking idiot. The police came back to his apartment, found the bag, and arrested him. He was charged with armed robbery and kidnapping, and he got a plea deal. 15 years for his attack on the girl and 21 years for the armed robbery. In prison, he got into self-help programs and obeyed the guards. Wendy and him got married. He never got into any altercations in prison, either it was helping him or he was too scared to let his anger out on all the other men. So in 2004, he was up for parole, and he made an emotional plea to the parole board. During his crimes, he was out of control, but he promised that he would be different now. They voted in his favor. They fucked up there. They took a sample of his DNA, which was part of the practice. Anytime they let people go, they do a DNA swab just in case they decide to do crimes later on. So that was smart of them for doing that. He got out after 13 years. He didn't step one toe out of line. He got a construction job, checked in with his parole officer, and even passed every drug test that was thrown his way. A year passed, and he seemed to have changed. Everything was going well, but he had this rage that wouldn't go away. So on August 6, 2005, he was walking through Phoenix with a gun on him. He came across two girls and a boy, and he showed them the pistol. He ordered them down a dark alley. Out of sight, he sexually assaulted the girls at gunpoint while the boy stood helpless. After he was done, he gave them a towel to wipe off the DNA. He left after that. September 8th, he struck again. Someone heard a woman say, "Leave me alone," and then a gunshot. 19-year-old Georgia Thomas was found by the police in the parking lot of her apartment. Her belongings were still at the scene, so no sign of robbery. Her pants were unbuttoned, but no sign of sexual assault, and her killer had no clear motive. So 12 days later, he approached two sisters. One was 6 months pregnant, the other one wasn't. Both walking home from a park in southern Phoenix. He ordered them to look away from his face. He forced them in some nearby bushes and assaulted them. He tried to strangle the non-pregnant one with a condom, but the other one noticed he left the pistol on the ground. She lunged for it, but he was too fast and he got control of the gun before she was able to touch it. He told the pregnant sister to beg for her and the baby's life. He told both women to spit in his hand, and he mixed it with dirt, and then he rubbed it on the chest of one of the sisters. We don't know which one, though. And then he fled. They went to the police. Only one sample was usable. The other one was mixed with dirt, so it wasn't usable. But y'all gotta think, technology wasn't really advanced at this time. Y'all gotta think it's the 80s. Or, well, I'd say, actually, it's the early 90s. But both samples went into the storage. He wore a dreadlock wig and a fisherman's hat. He robbed a fast food place, then kidnapped a woman and her 12-year-old daughter. From the parking lot outside, he sexually assaulted them before he set them free. So on November 3rd, he robbed another store. He sexually assaulted a nearby woman and stole her purse. On November 7th, Mark robbed a restaurant and a customer that was inside. He also robbed the restaurant that was next door. Well, in the parking lot, he spotted a woman with two young children. He aimed his gun at her and asked her for her purse. Scared, she said that she didn't have any money. As she spoke, customers from the restaurant approached him slowly from behind, but Mark noticed them before they could get too close. He turned to the group and shot a bullet into the air, and they started running, and he got away. Well, a single bullet casing was left, so the police found out it was done by one man. The police made a sketch based on their description from the public. They posted around town, and the photo could have been any number of men. The photo had a man with dreadlocks and wore a fisherman's hat. They dubbed him the Baseline Rapist. They had some baseline roads that were close to Mark's home. So I guess there was a road called Baseline Road that was close to Mark's home. That's where they came up with the name. I don't know. No loved ones expected him to be the Baseline Rapist. They knew he spent time in prison, but that was the old him. He was nice, gentle, and attended his lawn, and even said hello to the neighbors. Wendy thought her husband was a God-fearing man who brought her flowers and hated violence on TV. A man was working at a warehouse when he heard two loud bangs. He opened the garage door and he saw a hooded figure standing over a motionless body. The hooded figure aimed the gun at him and pulled the trigger. The gun jammed. The man ran back inside and he slammed the door and he locked it. He stood on the other side not moving. Then the door handle began to turn, rattled a little bit. Then that individual gave up. He waited for a little bit, then he called the police. The police identified the body as Tina Washington. Some of her jewelry was missing, along with the ring with her kids' names that was engraved in the ring. They didn't connect the two murders together, so during the holidays, it was quiet. A little bit too quiet. Serial killers are known for taking breaks. Some take short breaks, some take long period of breaks. It all depends. But Mark was a killer, but to his coworkers, he was a family man, nice, respectful, loving, and caring. He even would buy breakfast for everyone at his work on a food truck some days. I guess there was a food truck not too far from his work where he would go and pick up breakfast for everybody at his work and bring it back to them. What a nice guy to pay all that. So on February 20th, the food truck people were getting the truck ready for the breakfast crowd. They were prepping for the day, but they were interrupted when someone entered their truck uninvited. It was Mark. The women may have noticed Mark due to his work at the construction site nearby. Not sure what happened, but the police found their bodies laying dead in the truck, both shot in the head. Pants, both unbuttoned, but no signs of sexual assault. In March, authorities found a lady's body in the passenger seat of an abandoned car. Her pants were unbuttoned, no evidence of sexual assault. The owner of the car, a man, was found in the alleyway a mile away. Both shot in the car and killer. The killer took the money from both of them. So I guess shot the man in the head, but what'd he do, drag his body to an alleyway? I don't know, that doesn't make any sense to me. I feel like he might have shot him and then he ran to the alleyway and then just died there. Or did he like chase him to the alleyway and shoot him there? I don't know. Later that month, a local business owner called police. He noticed a trail of blood leading from the parking lot to a nearby shed. They rushed to the scene, taking samples of the blood, but they didn't find anything suspicious. They ended the search, but they kept it in mind if more clues would come about. Well, 5 days later, the owner smelt a stench in the area. It led him to the body of 26-year-old Christine Nicole Gibson. She was left behind the shed, which the authorities actually checked inside the shed, but not behind. Since she was covered in debris, they missed her. How do you miss that? Come on. The police were stumped. It made it easy for 40-year-old Mark. He met 36-year-old Sophia Nunez at a bar one night. He thought they hit it off, but he boasted about things, and she knew they were lies. She was noticing the red flags, so she decided to walk away. Sadly, they exchanged numbers, and Mark wasn't willing to give up that easily. He called her over 300 times for the next few months. You didn't know how to block the man's number? But it never led to anything. But her and her teenage daughter bumped into him at a local arcade one day, and they began a friendly conversation. She remembered Mark saying that he did odd jobs, giving the opportunity. She asked him if he could install a door at her house. Mark agreed. Well, she didn't want him hitting on her the whole time, so she arranged it so she wasn't home. He was annoyed about the situation since he wasn't able to hit on her, and he left without finishing the project, and she thought she'd seen the last of him. Why the fuck would you invite that man to your house? Like, if you already get a creepy vibe off of him, why would you get this man to come to your house? Even if you are calling his lies and calling his bluff, like, why would you do that? I was dumb as hell on her part. Yeah, I know this guy. He's giving me red flags and he's called me over 300 times and me and my daughter bumped to him in the arcade, but you know what? I'm gonna invite him to my house to fix my fucking door. This dude could have stole whatever he wanted to, or he could have waited for you to come home and killed you in your sleep or something. Damn, this bitch is stupid. Her neighbor, who was unnamed, but I'm just going to call him Jared, he came over to return her lawnmower that he borrowed, and he saw her car in the parking, like the driveway, and a random truck behind hers. It was Mark's vehicle. He didn't want to bother her if she had a guest over, so he decided he would return it another time. He called her to say it was finished, but no answer. He didn't hear anything suspicious or see anyone leave the house. At an elementary school, her son heard the bell ring and he went outside and he waited for his mom to pick him up, but she never came. He walked home alone. When he got home, nobody answered the door. There was a short gap under the garage door, and he crawled through it and he went inside. He called for his mother, but there was no response. All he heard was rushing water. So he went to investigate it, and he saw blood, and then the tub was overflowing, and there was a gunshot wound under one of her eyes. He called for help. The police showed up, and they noticed a bullet wound in her head. They sent the bullet case off for analysis, and they waited for results. Mark laid low for a month. Early May, he carjacked a woman named Adrian, and he forced himself into the car and forced her to drive to a secluded neighborhood. After parking the car, he demanded her to undress. She did. When he demanded for her to have oral sex with him, she refused. He placed a barrel of the pistol on her forehead and threatened to kill her if she didn't. She replied, "Go ahead." He was so pissed off that he squeezed the trigger, but nothing happened. She found her chance, and she acted fast, and she grabbed her keys, and she ran. He knew she'd seen his face, so he decided to lay low. The investigators' analysis analyzed his early evidence. They concluded that the same weapon, a .380 caliber pistol, was the murder weapon to all these crimes. They remembered the baseline rapist shot a warning shot in the air during the crowded parking lot. Witnesses have said that they saw a silver small gun, and the police thought maybe it is a .380, but they didn't know for sure, but now they do. They figured out that the rapist was now the killer as well. They placed the sketch on the news, and they put it on billboards as well. The lab, which was sitting on untested DNA from when Mark attacked the two sisters, you remember dirt and saliva, and he rubbed it on the girl's chest. They said that only one of them was able to be tested, but the other one due to the dirt? Yeah, they were still sitting on that shit, right? So at 9:30 p.m. on June 29th, Carmen Miranda was at a car wash not too far from Baseline Road. She was chatting with her boyfriend on the phone while she was vacuuming her vehicle. She told her boyfriend a man was approaching her, and then the boyfriend heard him asking her for something. All of a sudden, Miranda screamed and the line went dead. The boyfriend called the police and her son, who raced to the car wash. The car and her, they were gone. So the police were searching for 2 hours, and they found it in a nearby lot. She was dead in the back seat with a gunshot wound. Her pants were pulled down, but there was no evidence of sexual assault. The car wash luckily had security cameras installed. Hopefully it's not like those shitty ones that you see on TV where it's like all grainy and pixelated. And I'm like, come on, we live in the 21st century. Why y'all still got that shitty ass camera quality? You know what I'm saying? So when they said that, it reminded me of that. When they saw the footage, they saw Mark actually abducting Miranda, and the footage played on TVs across of Phoenix. They began to lose hope until their earlier efforts began to pay off. So July 2006, police got a call. Someone recognized the sketch that they released to the public. The first lady who survived his attack in 1989, she said it was Mark. Remember the side chick that got smacked in the face with a shotgun? And yeah, it took her to the hospital? Yeah. She's out for fucking blood, bruh. She never forgotten that shit, and she wanted him to pay for what he did. So they looked up his address and they found it, and it was at the center of Baseline attacks. She might be right. They watched him as they got more evidence, and the detectives wanted all the evidence re-examined. The swabs with the two sisters was about to be analyzed with new technology. This time, it showed DNA from saliva from a man. It matched Mark's DNA sample that he gave when he got out of prison in 2004. So on September 6, 2006, he arrived home. It was his 42nd birthday, and him and Wendy had plans to go out for dinner. As he got to the house, an officer pulled him over and arrested him, and his neighbors watched in shock. The lead detective said, "I believe there are two Marks. One hardworking, articulate, and charming. Sorry, I butchered that word. The other was a suspect that was part of these heinous crimes." Some of his friends and family members came to his defense. They didn't even want to believe it was him. They knew Mark. They knew him very well, so they argued. He wasn't that kind of person, and I still believe his facade. Wendy said that he was arrested because he fit a perfect profile, saying that he's black, lives in this area, crimes happen near here, and he's on parole. So he's an easy target, and that's all they needed. They had too much concrete evidence on him, so her words didn't mean anything, and he faced two trials. One was the attack on the two sisters, and the other for the other crimes. So September 2007, a little over a year after his arrest, he was convicted of the attack on the two sisters. This totaled to 19 charges, from sexual assault, kidnapping, sexual abuse, attempted sexual assault, and aggravated assault. He got 438 years in prison. And in 2011, he was tried for the rest of his crimes. He was found guilty. 67 other charges, including nine first-degree murders. Damn, he received 9 death sentences, one for each murder, and got 1,634 years behind bars. Some of the victims sued the department for allowing the samples to go untested for a year. I don't blame them. So in 2016, the court overruled that the department couldn't be held responsible. Look at them trying to save their own asses. So, Wendy actually continued to visit him and call him while he was in prison. She even started a blog to support his innocence. She stopped updating the blog in 2014. I wonder what it was called. I'd go look it up right now. If the blog is still up there, I would definitely look it up. To this day, he's on death row, and he claims he's not guilty. Yeah, he's full of shit. That's crazy how this story came in full circle. Hopefully I didn't butcher it and, you know, go too fast for all of you. But yeah, the fact is, he did all this shit, and it came back on him. It's crazy. A lot of it seemed like he let people go, and he didn't wear no disguises or anything, so he kind of like fucked himself even harder. Like, he sucked at being a criminal, honestly. He just sucked at really being a bad guy. And that lady with the 8-year-old son, I feel so bad for him. He got to see his mother dead in the tub. That's got to be really traumatizing. That's what, you know, happens when you give some creepy-ass motherfucker your home address. So, she would probably be alive, or she probably wouldn't have been dead from that if she would have never gave her address away. Just saying. You know? Sucks. It really does suck. The fact is, he never thought about killing his wife is wild to me. Like, she's a woman, and a lot of these victims, besides one of them, well, actually two, you know, he tried to shoot the guy and the gun jammed, but the other guy he did kill, the one in the alley. So, a lot of them are women, though. So, that's crazy in my opinion. So let's get in a little bit of facts, shall we? There's not much, because there's not a lot on this man's life. As of right now, he's 58 years old. So he got 9 counts of first-degree murder, attempted first-degree murder, 13 counts of kidnapping, attempted kidnapping, 23 counts of sexual assault, 7 counts of attempted sexual assault, 6 counts of sexual abuse, 14 counts of aggravated assault, 12 counts of armed robbery, 2 counts of attempted armed robbery, and first-degree burglary. Shit. Yeah, this man ain't never getting out of fucking prison. They racked his ass up. And doing it in the 21st century? Damn, he was born in 1964, and he was doing this, damn, 1989? Shit. Yeah, he fucked up, continued to do it, especially in, you know, DNA testing. Oh, it would really be hard for him to get away with it now. He would get caught easily because of how strong DNA and shit is. So, that is the end of Mark. And another thing about Mark, he's black. I did not know that until I looked him up. Also, I want to give credit to the sources. One was Wikipedia and the other one was the Serial Killer Podcast. Thank you for both of them for the information on this guy. So, y'all have a blessed night, evening, morning, wherever you're listening to this. And make sure not to invite someone over to your house, especially if you're getting bad vibes off of them. Don't be that fucking stupid, okay? And don't go anywhere by yourself, especially if you're a female. I'm not saying females are weak, but there are a lot of men out there that like to overpower females when they're by themselves. So make sure to go in a group or make sure to walk with one or two friends. In my personal opinion, I don't think you should just walk with one friend. I think that you should have two, just in case. So three of you in general. So you're the third person. I think that'd be the best, honestly, just in case something happens. So yeah, the more the better. I love you guys. I will catch you in the next episode. It'll be better than this one. I promise. Peace.